lesson this morning, the next step, and that's what we are doing as a church, as a body of believers. We are moving together toward Christlikeness. And as we do this, some of us may have difficulty in taking the next step, and so we're going to be spiritually locked arm in arm, so that if anyone feels like they're falling behind, they can call and ask for help. Help to make that next step. And so it's not all going to come at one time, and we're not going to take any giant steps. Some of us have had too many birthdays for that. So we're going to take solid steps each week. And this is another week where we take the next step, and this is actually the third step that we're going to be working on, which refers back to the second step, which was add to your faith virtue. Now, virtue is something that Jesus had. People used it, they reached out and touched him, and some of them were healed, and some of the demons left them. And then Paul, later on in his ministry, he had virtue too. And they sent napkins and handkerchiefs and aprons to people. And through the virtue that was radiating from Paul, people were saved and people were healed and demons cast out. I would like to be virtuous. I would like to be. But I'm not. I'm not virtuous yet. Because I don't have the ability. I don't have the strength. I don't have the power to be virtuous. So what we're seeking is virtue. And together we're going to find it. Together we're going to experience it. Virtue has been described as excellence. And we're looking to inculcate excellence into each one of our lives. We want to be not proudly known as a virtuous church, but we do want to be a virtuous people for God. For some of us, it means that we're going to have to experience doing things a little differently. We're going to have to let God empower us for the things that we need to, that we cannot do on our own. Life slowly begins to change because we want to do what Jesus would do, and that's the question we should be asking ourselves all of the time is, what would Jesus do? What would he say? What would he do? For every situation you find yourself in, if you're thinking all of the time about Jesus, you are moving in the right direction. And just like the video we have been seeing for 3 weeks now, every one of us has a job to do. Every one of us needs to somehow replace ourselves so that this ministry can go on. And that's what the video is really all about. You'll see it just one more time. Because, and I love the way he says it at the beginning of the video, because we're going to die. And he has that big smile. For those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, that's not a bad thing. We're going to go to be with the Lord. We're going to go to be with our brothers and sisters in Christ, and then our loved ones before, and eventually we'll all be back together again. So don't do anything to anybody that's not good. We have asked. Some of you were not here on the 10th of June. When we ask God and we committed ourselves to God to change us, to make us more like Jesus. And in this epistle that Peter wrote, the second epistle, he tells us exactly how we have to become like Jesus. And we started off with faith. If you're not saved, you can't be like Jesus. But if you are saved this morning, then you can take steps with us to go from where we are at, where you are at, taking the next step toward Christlikeness. And the first thing we added to our faith was virtue. That was 2 weeks ago. We had a missionary last week, so 2 weeks ago we added virtue. Now you might wonder, how can I be virtuous? Virtuous means excellence. How can I live a life of excellence? And I'll be honest with you, I can't, and neither can you. Not your own strength or your own power. And so you're going to have to add virtue by letting God add that to your life and change you. And there is one thing that is going to prevent that in your life. And we're going to talk about this morning. Tim was talking about looking in the mirror. And when I look in the mirror, I see 200 pounds of ugly. And I don't know what you see when you look in the mirror, and I'm not going to speculate, okay? I like living too much. Okay. I'm finding myself having to be more thoughtful about the things that I'm thinking and the things that I would normally be doing in my own strength. I'm not finding out why I did find out, though, why I'm so tired. And maybe some of you are tired, and you know, one of the reasons that you might be tired, because you are doing God's work and not letting Him do it. You're doing it in your own strength. And that's my problem. I don't depend upon it. I'm still getting feedback, AB. Is this mic on? Okay. But in my own strength, I'm trying to do what God wants to do. And I won't let Him do that. So I'm going to have to change. I'm going to have to sort of start yielding some of these things back to Him, so that He can do them. And you know why I'm doing these things? Because I'm proud. I've got pride in my heart. And if I understand correctly the Word of God, I believe that virtue has nothing to do with the attributes of God. We're not wanting to be like God. We're wanting to be like Jesus. He is God, but we're wanting to live lives that would be the kind of life He lived. And one of the things about Jesus and one of the things about God, they're holy. And I look at my life and I think, I'm not holy. I can't be holy. I'm a man, or I'm a woman. And holiness is of God. The person who is virtuous lives a holy life. Virtue actually has substance. Virtue actually has substance. It can be detected in those who have it. Jesus had it, so did Paul. An example is in Luke 6, 17 through 19. Luke 6, 17 through 19, let me read that for you. And he came down with them and stood in the plain and the company of his disciples. And a great multitude of people out of all Judea and Jerusalem and from the sea coast of Tyre and Sidon, which came to hear him and to be healed of their diseases, and they that were vexed with unclean spirits, and they were healed. And the whole multitude sought to touch him, for there went virtue out of him and healed them all. Jesus had virtue, and it was detectable. So the first thing that people always say when I share this, they say, well, that isn't me. I'm not Jesus. Let me show you another example. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. We've already covered that on Wednesday night. Acts 19, verses 11 and 12. And God wrought special miracles by the hands of Paul, so that from his body were brought unto the sick handkerchiefs or aprons, and the diseases departed from them, and the evil spirits went out of them. I believe that Paul had virtue too. I believe that the virtue within Paul helped these folks to be healed. Now, the Holy Spirit was the one doing the work. Paul wasn't the one. And these healers who go out and hold crusades and stuff, healing people, that's not real. That's not real. Pseudo-Christianity, pretend Christianity. Pseudo-Holy Spirit, pretend Holy Spirit. But if we have virtue, God will use that virtue to touch the lives of the people around us. Because the people around us, folks, are very sick and don't know it. They're sin sick. And some may even be possessed. And they can't help themselves. They can't control themselves. It's real. And I want to have virtue. I want you to have virtue, not for our sakes, but for the glory of God. And the first thing that people want is for something magical to happen. But it's happening little by little. It's happening in your life right now. We prayed a prayer of dedication on the 10th. I have seen it working in my life. I have not been in control of it. God is. And he's in control of your life, and he's going to do these things for you. So as we look at the next step, let's pray. Let's ask God to help us. Father, we know that you have all power, not us. We know that you are in control, not us. And Father, we want to yield our souls and our hearts to thee. And Father, we yield that you might change us, that you might make us more like Jesus. And Father, as those changes take place, may you get the glory for them. May your will be done in every life and heart here. And Father, we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we've all dedicated ourselves to taking the next step, and we learned 2 weeks ago the next step was going to be virtue. I told you that virtue could be translated as excellence. And excellence could indicate perfection. And no one is normally perfect except for God. And when he does it in an excellent way, and it is perfect. When you and I do things, we're not perfect. We're not excellent because you and I have a sin nature, and it lives right here in our heart. It's been there ever since the sin occurred in the Garden of Eden. That's where we inherited it from. Adam passed it along to his sons and his daughters. They passed it along to their children. And it has been passed on down. Even Noah had a sin nature. And so we all were born with a sin nature. We are born as a human being. We have certain characteristics. We have a certain number of chromosomes in our DNA. And we also have a sin nature. And the root of that sin nature is what we want to talk about this morning. We're going to spend a few minutes talking about ugly. One of the things that we're going to have to do is watch out for warning signs. As we seek true virtue, we're going to have to watch for indications that we're not operating with excellence. Let's take a minute to talk about one of the times when we cannot operate with excellence. How do we recognize pride? How do you recognize pride in your own life? Not somebody else, okay? We're talking about ourselves now. We're talking about you, we're talking about me. If we're angry, our pride has been stepped on. If you get angry, that's your pride. If we're hurt, our pride's been hurt. If we feel that we have to justify what we're doing to anybody other than God, it's our pride. Pride is a wicked, deceitful thing. We talked about deceit this morning in Sunday school. Tim did. Our hearts are full of it. And that's the one thing that's going to keep us from getting virtue, is our pride. Now, about the time you think, well, you know, I'm not a proud person, I'm really humble. You wind up being proud about being humble. It's deceitful. It is. Let me show you what God thinks about pride. 1 John 2:15-16. Little epistle of John at the back of the Bible. It says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. That's pretty simple, okay? Listen. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Period. No exception. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world is not virtuous in any way. The pride of life is that what we carry around in our hearts that get us into so many scrapes. It's one of the things that keeps us from adding virtue to our life. Our pride. And we all have it. It's part of us. We have to see pride from the perspective of God. From the perspective of Jesus and the Holy Spirit. That's how we have to see pride. Couple questions. Did you give yourself your good looks? Did you give yourself the intelligence that you have? No, God did. So what have you got to be proud about? Did God make you the way you are, or did you? Oh, well, I studied hard. I spent 3.5 hours in front of a mirror before I go out in public. Obadiah 1:3 says, "The pride of thine heart hath deceived thee." And this morning's Sunday school lesson was about being deceived by ourselves. If you miss Sunday school, you're missing a big part of this ministry, because that's the way God helps us to learn. Proverbs 29:23 says, "A man's pride shall bring him low." That's Proverbs 29:23. God tells us how to eliminate pride and a few other things through the fear of the Lord in Proverbs 8. Proverbs 8:13 says, "The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride, and arrogancy, and the evil way, and the forward mouth do I hate," God says. God says that he hates these things. He hates pride. And when we have pride in our life, it's false. And it's also sin. As we strive to be like Jesus, we have to see life as Jesus saw life in his time on earth. And since he changes not, even though he's in heaven at the throne of God making intercession for us, he still sees pride the same way. Mark 7:20-23, this is Jesus speaking, and he said, "That which cometh out of the man, that defileth the man. For from within, out of the heart of men, proceed evil thoughts, adulteries, fornications, murders, thefts, covetousness, wickedness, deceit, lasciviousness, an evil eye, blasphemy, pride, foolishness. All these evil things come from within and defile the man." Now we've got a big task in front of us. We're wanting virtue. And we have all these other things in our heart. There is no one sitting here, I'm going to make a statement. There is no one sitting in this auditorium this morning. You say, "Oh, I wouldn't do any of these things. I couldn't do any of these things." There's no one sitting here this morning that couldn't, without the right provocation, murder. Everyone here this morning is capable of any sin the devil can trick you into, and murder is one of them. I want to see God answering prayer. And I want to see him doing it in all of our lives as we travel together to become like Jesus. And the devil's going to throw everything he can at us. He's going to do everything he can to keep you from becoming that way. Because when you become that way, other people are going to become that way too, because they're going to see Jesus in you. And that's the whole point. That's why we sit here this morning. Now, I want to be more like Jesus. I want you to be more like Jesus. And I want to see you get excited about becoming more like Jesus, because we can. With the power of God upon our lives, we can become like Jesus. And he wants us to, and he's not going to stop you from doing that. The devil will, if he can. And then one of the big things he's going to use is your pride. Sharing my heart with you, there are times when my wife will tell me something that makes me angry. And you know why I get angry? of pride. I wish she wasn't here, because I have to admit, sometimes she's right. And I don't want her to get proud. We'll not normally notice the little changes that are taking place as God works in our heart to make us what we have surrendered ourselves to be. That new relationship that is developing in every heart who has yielded itself to Jesus will not be a tangible thing, but you will see, you will experience less temptation. You will experience more self-control, temperance. You will begin to experience the things that lead toward virtue. And that is the road that we are all on. And that's the road we want to travel. And I'm so excited about what God can do in your life as well as in my own life. There is nobody here who cannot yield to God's will. No matter what your situation, and he will give you what you need to be virtuous. The power of God is going to be more than just words on a page in your Bible. The power of God, he wants it to be a part of your life. The power of God is going to become a part of your life if you let it. It's up to you. Now, you can continue to live big in pride, or you can let God humble you. And I really don't like it when he has to do that to me. And you're not going to like it either. It's sort of bitter fruit. But if we will yield to his will, if we will yield to his power, and Peter has told us what we need to do, then God will do that for us. We can't do it in our own strength. We don't have the ability to do it. You know why you can't do it in your own strength? Because you have been you all of your life. And you are not necessarily a good person. I hate to tell you that. That's going to spoil a lot of your self-images. None of us are good persons in the sight of God. Yet he loves us. He still loves us. You're going to see that. By the way, have you seen? Sign was changed last week. Sign's been changed again this week. It's going to be changed every Saturday. We're going to get that message out there that we got that sign for. And then we're getting it out there. Any of you who want to become a part of that, Tim's an excellent teacher. Okay? We've got some others who want to learn how to do that, and we'll be glad to have you doing it. If we get enough of you, we'll change it more than once a week. Okay? Just let me know. You're going to need the armor of God to survive. Now, Tim talked about the armor of God. How many of you have ever had a broken limb where they had to put a cast on it? Okay, all right. What's one of the first things that happens when you get that limb all encapsulated in that plaster of Paris cast? It itches. And you can't get to it unless you stick something down there. And sometimes it's sharp and sometimes it sticks you. If you put on the armor of God, you need it, and you're going to need it, because the devil is not going to be happy with what you are attempting to do or what you are attempting to let God do. From the very beginning, it was the devil's effort and desire to not let God fulfill his purpose with man or anybody else. And so if you enter into this and you begin to yield to him and things begin to change in you and you put on the armor of God, it's like having a cast on. You can't get to where it itches. But the devil's darts are not going to be able to get you either. And during this time of desire to change, this time of wanting to be like Jesus, the devil is going to throw everything at you he can. And he will, just to get you. If you got the armor on, okay, he can't get you. It's you that's going to get you after that. The devil doesn't itch, you do. And you must understand that with the armor of God on, and it is necessary, that it takes temperance, self-control, to let God change you. You have to pull your will back and let God's will work out. And that's what he will do. People, I'm beginning to see it already. And it's so exciting. God is working in your lives. God is doing exactly what he's been wanting to do all of your life. But you have to let him. And so as we go after virtue, the biggest hindrance is pride. And so, people, I can't deal with your pride. I can tell you it's pride, and that'll make you mad, because it is pride. Or you can look at yourself, and you can realize, oh, I'm angry because my pride has been stepped on. Or I'm hurt because my pride has been hurt. And we can, at that point, say, God, help me, forgive me. And we can actually repent of our pride and turn away from it. And that's what God wants. I believe that in our hearts, that's what we want. If we really want to be like Jesus. So, you'll need the armor of God to survive. And let me just read what that armor is and summarize and make an application, and we'll be done for this morning. Ephesians 6, 10 through 13 is the armor of God. And it says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord, and that's what we all want to be, and in the power of his might. Remember, Jesus said, all power is given unto me. And so we don't have any power. It belongs to Jesus. If we are in the place he wants us to be, if we are submitted to him, his power he will give us. And verse 11 says, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. He's going to try and trick you. He's going to try and trick you into more pride, saying, oh, I'm doing good. I'm getting stronger. I can feel it. Yeah, that's pride. That's pride. Verse 12, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of darkness in this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Man, here we got some spiritual wickedness going on in this country. Horrible. Everybody, it seems like almost everybody is lying. Who's the father of lies? The devil. So where are these coming from? The devil. Who wants to destroy this country? The devil. What chance is there that this country will not be destroyed? God's people. Praying, living the truth. Verse 13 says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and we are in that day, and having done all, to stand. I assume that everybody in the service this morning has an element of pride in our lives. That's not an attack from outside, if you've got the armor of God on, but from deep inside where we live, from our hearts. The armor of God is not going to help us with our pride. It won't. It'll help us from attacks from outside. And so we need to make sure that we stay submitted to God, to His will, for His purpose for us, that we obey this book. If we read it in this book, we do it, and we do it quickly. We don't wait, because slow obedience is no obedience. When God says do something, do it. If He says pray, and I know I'm over time, but nobody's starving to death in here, I don't think. But when He says pray, pray. Right then. If you're at work, you can do it in your mind. You don't have to do it audibly. You don't have to do it on your knees. But if He says pray, pray. Listen for that little voice that says, pray. You don't know what the situation is, what you should do, how you should respond. Pray. He'll show you. Do it immediately. Because if you put it off, other things are going to get in the way and you're not going to do it. Read your Bible first thing when you get up. If you have to get up earlier, get up earlier. Now that means you may have to go to bed earlier too. But what's important in your life? And if you're at work, you can't pray, on your knees, you pray in your mind. If you're not at work and you're by yourself at home or someplace, you can pray. But by the way, if you're driving, please don't close your eyes and bow your head. There's enough people doing that with their cell phones, okay? But you can pray when God says pray, or when the Holy Spirit says pray, and He's the one who's going to tell you. You will find you're spending more time in prayer. You're going to find that you're spending more time talking to God. Remember Psalm 66:18. If I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. So be quick to repent. If you realize you've got pride in your life, Father, forgive me. Now, if you ask Him to take it away, be ready for an answer, because He will answer. And He will humble you in front of others. And if you will simply consider the fact that you have nothing to be proud of, you can still repent, you can still tell God, ask God to forgive you, and then you can say, well, I shouldn't be thinking this. I shouldn't be acting this way. I want to be like Jesus. That's the next step that we're taking. Okay? So now you know What are you going to do with it? Let's pray. Father, we do want to be like Jesus. We want to have his mind. We want to have his heart. And Father, we seek virtue from you. We don't have the power. We don't have the ability. And we would ask that you would help us by empowering us, by sending your Holy Spirit. He's already with us if we know Jesus. And Father, he's there close by where he can fix things. Help us, Father, to get rid of pride. Help us to become truly humble like Jesus was. And Father, we realize that we have nothing to be proud over, but we are. So Father, through your power of your Holy Spirit, through the power of the Lord Jesus Christ, work in our hearts. Help us this next week to lay aside pride, to recognize it when it's present. And Father, make us more like Jesus, and we will praise you for what you do. In Jesus' name, amen.